Here in Proverbs chapter 11, we're here at verse number 24, and we're going to kind of segue. We're going to go off a different direction tonight. Lord, impress me with this message. You pray that the Lord will bless that I might be able to convey it to you the way the Lord has helped me and given and blessed me with it. I want it to be a blessing to you. I think we all need it. I think we need it as a people of God. We certainly need it as a church, and it will help us, and these are going to be all familiar things, but we just want to take a look and consider this evening. I know you're tired. I know many of you have worked and have traveled here, and I'm glad that you're here. I praise the Lord that you are here, and I'm thankful for your attention and attendance and that. We'll just pray that the Lord will help us and give us strength, lift us up, and we just might feed on His Word here tonight. In Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24, the scripture says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." Hear that? "He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." Those that deal in commodities like that passage. "He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor, but he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." Verse 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Here are these passages, verses 24 through verse number 30. They generally speak to us and speak about liberality, being liberal, being not being a liberal, okay, like we think about from the standpoint of politics and such as that, or morally. Not talking about that, but talking about being generous, being liberal, being one that would give. And so that being kind of a springboard, I want you to turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, I trust a familiar passage with you. There was a day that I had this passage memorized, and I don't know how much of it I could draw back right now, but it's good. As a people of God, we certainly need to know what's in this chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, or that which is about charity. Let's read it. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal, making a noise, but there's nothing to it. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth." Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, verse number 6, "but rejoiceth in the truth. Charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. But whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come," we believe this is a reference to the Word of God, "then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity," these three, "but the greatest of these is charity." We've talked to you about love and the different forms of love in the scripture, and I want to review these for you, and I'm even going to give you the Strong's Greek number that they might become familiar to you. Three, when we're talking about agape love. There's three references in the Greek and three words in the Greek that we need to become familiar with. And I go to the Greek not as a to try to be a Greek scholar, but I want to understand the Scripture. And there's even foundational things that we hold to as Baptists that we go to the Greek to understand them from the English translation that we have. In this, there's three words that are there. Love, the agapo love. That's love that is that the Lord's kind of love. That's the way I understand it. And then the reference here, charity, or the Greek word 26, the first one, agapo love, is 25. The Greek word 26 in the Strong's Concordance is this agape love. It is a love feast. It's agapo love, G25, abounding, plentiful. A love feast, as it's referred to. It's on display. It's a whole bunch of agapo love. Agape, it's being manifested a bunch. And then there's 27, G27, which is referring to those who are loved by the Lord, or agapetos, who are saved. We are beloved of God. We are beloved one of another. And so the Scripture uses that reference there. Three different ones, agapeo, agape, and agapetos, are love that is, we're going to find out and see, it's self-sacrificing love. It's love that gives, okay? And so that for tonight, I want to ask two questions to all of us. This is to you and to me, to each one of us individually. Do you and I exhibit charity? Do we do so? Love's got a twisted rap in meaning in the world today, hadn't it? The word love. The world thinks of love in our day as a feeling, or the world also considers love as being sensual or sexual, and that's just the extent of it. And granted, there are emotions and feelings with love. We are emotional creatures, okay? And in marriage, indeed, there's an intimacy there that's a part created by God, but it's by no means all that there is of love. And marriage, that's a piece of it. The world thinks that sexual, sensual thing is all of love, and that's the end all of it, but that's just a piece, and it is in the guise of marriage. We understand that. So what is love? What is indeed this charity, this agape love? What is it? How can we put our hands on it? How can we understand from the eternal viewpoint, from the mind of God, if you will, how can we understand what love is? We got to understand it to know if we're doing it or not. Amen? We need to know what it is. Well, when we need an answer, and as the children of God, I trust it's this way. I mean, it should be this way with us. When we need to find an answer, where do we go? Or, if you will, who do we go to? Amen? Well, we go to the Lord, don't we? It's the Lord that shows us. It's the Lord that has the answer and is also the example of all good eternal things. Isn't that right? He's got the answer, but then he's always going to be the example of everything that is good and right and righteous. We can look to the Lord and his word, and we can know what love, what charity is. In Jeremiah chapter 30, let's take a look over here. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures, and you make sure you're listening, okay? And if you get tired, just don't turn, but listen. But make sure you listen, and we may the Lord help us with this. And we want to see here about what is love. What is love indeed? Well, let's take a look here first. The Lord dealing with this subject regarding his nation. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 23. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury. Be warned, sinner, this is a warning to you, and continuing whirlwind, it shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he hath done it, until he have performed the intents of all his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. Be warned, sinner, you need a Savior. Without Christ, you are lost and undone. God, and judgment is coming to you. Verse number 1 of chapter 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. And thus saith the Lord, the people which are left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared, verse 3, of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. He goes on and tells more about that. But here the Lord, speaking about his nation, he mentions about the judgment to come upon sinners, but then, and of course, the book of Jeremiah is directed. It's a book of Brother Jeremiah writing to the Lord's nation, warning them, telling them of things that the Lord is doing, is promised, and why they are in the situation that they are in. But here in verse number 3, he says, when he's referring to Israel, when he's referring to his nation, he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. We see here that the Lord's love, and we'll see it with other passages too, but when the Lord sets his love on someone, when he said the Lord sets his love on a people, when the Lord sets his love on a nation, it is everlasting. Now, why is it everlasting? Because the Lord's everlasting. Now, you and I aren't everlasting. We're going to live forever going this way, right? But there was a time that we were in the mind of God, agreed, but we did not have life. The Lord made our soul. Now, when he made our soul, and when exactly when he made it, I don't know. But I know that there was certainly a time of life that you all experienced, that you and I experienced at conception. Indeed, we were in the mind of God before we existed. But at conception is when we started life. And that life started, and it'll never end. It'll be somewhere. Indeed. We see here that the Lord's love is everlasting. His love is everlasting. His love is everlasting because he is everlasting, and he speaks here to his nation. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, we see an expansion of this. We see the Lord telling more about this. And here Moses, the book of Deuteronomy is one, two or three messages that Moses preaches to the children of Israel before the Lord takes him out of this life. And in verse number 6 of chapter 7 of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 7, verse number 6, let's read. Listen to this. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love. You hear that? The Lord did not set his love on you because of you. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Verse 8. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out of with a mighty hand out of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondmen, and from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Wow, that's a big, that's a tall order, isn't it? And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. In verse number 7, it says, he set his love on this nation. He purposed to love this nation. What did Abraham have? What did Jacob have? Or Isaiah Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did they have to give God? What did they have that God needed? What did they have that would make God better? Nothing. But God Almighty purposed to set his love on them, and that's what he did. When they were unlovable, the Lord set his love on them. That's what he said. The Lord did not set his love upon you. So we see here, and we have more of an indication and instruction about what love is. He says here in verse number 8, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath. See, brothers and sisters, what love is a mindset. It's a fixation. It's a said, I'm going to love this. And it doesn't matter at all what comes back. Love is a mindset upon another. Now, again, the world thinks that it's a feeling. And when we do love, there are feelings. But you know what? We can love without there being anything reciprocal. Because that's the way it was with the Lord and what the Lord did. There wasn't anything as the world thinks. We just take that comparison. There wasn't anything sensual or sexual about this relationship, was there? No, it's the Lord set His love in a higher way, in a greater plane, in a greater way. He set His love on a nation. He set His love on a people. Indeed, love is a mindset. The Lord has not loved us because of what He could get from us or what we can add to Him, but has done so because He wanted to. Why has the Lord loved me? Why has the Lord loved you, child of God? Because He wanted to. That's it, because He wanted to. Love is a mindset. How was and is the Lord's love, His love, manifested or shown? How is it that it's shown? We have words here that say that His love is set on this nation. This love is set upon people. And of course, we're dealing with the nation of Israel, namely, so far in the passages that we've looked at. You know, but there's an expansion to this. How is it that love, it's spoken about, but how is it that it's shown? How is it that it's manifested? How is it that love can be seen? Well, John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Let's take a look over here. Look at this. It's very simple, and we need it that way. Look at this. How is it that the love of the Lord is manifested or shown? Here in John chapter 3, verse number 16, listen, for God so loved the world. And that world in the Greek is cosmos. He loved His creation. And He loved a people. And He so loved them. He didn't just love them, but He so loved them. And what do we see the beginnings of here? The Lord loved Israel and brought them out of Egypt, didn't He? He manifested it that way. And remember how it was that the angel of the Lord went there with the nation? The Lord loves. He loves the same way. The pillar of fire by night and the pillar of the cloud by day. And the Lord Jesus Christ was that rock that was in their midst. Amen? Well, here, and we're coming down to New Testament times, and as the work of God is revealed and it comes to the climax of being fully revealed in Jesus Christ, everything is revealed and manifested in Jesus Christ. Everything, it's all about Him. It all points to Him. It all goes to Him. It says, for God so loved the world. Now here's the action that He gave. He so loved the world that He gave His Son. The Lord's love was manifested in that He gave. He gave. He gave. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is a promise and a set definite thing by God. God loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to this, verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that was the first time, but that the world through Him might be saved. God's love was manifested in that He gave His Son so that they might be saved, so that sinners might be saved. He gave. What were sinners doing? Save us, save us. No, we had our back turned on God, an alien, an enemy, and hatred against God. But God gave. God gave His Son so that rebellious, wicked sinners could be saved. That's a mindset, brothers and sisters. That's a mindset. When we were the enemies of God, He loved us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let's look here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, so we've got the Trinity well represented there, don't we? And now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. This church at Thessalonica, we believe mainly made up of Gentiles, were loved by God. He loved them. When they were there at Thessalonica, worshiping all the Greek gods, and all the Greek gods that had been built up and established, and whatever that Greece had inherited from Babylon, and all those twists and turns and modifications of those gods, when they were enemies with God, when they worshiped Satan, God loved them and sent a minister to them, as we're studying on Sunday afternoons. Amen? And he says, even our Father which hath loved us. He loves us. And he, what's it say there? Hath loved us and hath given. How is the Lord's love manifested? How is it shown? Because he's given. He's given. He's given, and that giving shows his love. In Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His love was manifested in that Christ died. That's how it's known. That's how it's manifested. It's just not talk. But it's agape love, isn't it? Oh, it's not just one exhibition of love, but it's just love piled up and heaped over. It just keeps on. That's what salvation does. The salvation of our soul through Jesus Christ, the granting to us of eternal life, is a continuous, everlasting stream of blessing, isn't it? It's not just, you know, we live in a day where folks do, they bought into a gospel that's preached that's just kind of like a one-time affair and that's it, and you got it off your checklist and everything's great. But the salvation of the Lord keeps on giving. It's that fountain of life springing up within. It's a continual feed of blessing, is it not? Amen, it is. It just, when the Lord saves a soul, it's just a continual feed of blessing from the Lord. And he commended his love toward us. It says there, but God commendeth. He manifested it. He showed it. He took those steps regardless of where we were. He had his love set on us, commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, not when we got more presentable. Not when we got to a level of desire, but while we were sinners, Christ died. Amen. When we were a long way away, dead in trespasses and sins. He goes on to say, verse number 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His death saved our souls and paid for our sins, and that he rose from the dead, right? That third part of the gospel. How much more shall we be saved? And that we shall live forever. Not only have we been forgiven, but we'll live forever. He's given to us. And that's how his love is manifested towards us. The Lord's love is shown to us by his giving of the stuff. Did the Lord take the gold and silver and precious stones, that which the crowns and the streets of gold and the mansions are made with? Did he take those things and give it for us? No, he gave himself for us. All the wealth of all the universe and all that God has, can we say it that way? It's about the only way we can understand it. He didn't give the stuff for us. He gave himself for us because he loves us. because He loves us. God commands us to give of our lives too, doesn't He? In Matthew chapter 10, and we'll go quickly through these passages. I want to read them. I want us to have the point hammered home to us how this is in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 37. Matthew 10, 37, let's read where the Scripture says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it." What did the Lord do to manifest His love toward us? He gave of Himself. And we're going to see how much here in a minute. What does He command us and what does He want us to do? To give of ourselves. How will our love? Do you and I love? Do you and I exhibit charity? Do we? The Lord says here the recipe of happiness and joy and service of the Lord is losing your life. Look here in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 24. "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Verse 25 of Matthew 16. "For whosoever will save his life and lose it, and whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works." Listen, rewards. Did that speak to us not? Did that not speak to us of rewards according to the works of losing your life for the Lord? Right? We're going to be judged by our works as the children of God. And the Lord has been very clear that we need to lose our life for His sake, for His service, for His work, following His example. How much did the Lord give? Everything. We're going to see that. And the Lord says that we are to lose our life for His sake. We will be judged according, rewarded according to our works. And I believe in this and taking that, I surmise that we'll be judged and rewarded according to our works and losing our lives for His sake. Think about it. That's the example. It's what He did, didn't He? In Mark chapter 8, verse number 34. Mark 8, 34. "And when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, Whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it." Want to be stingy with your life? Want to take your life and suck it up to yourself? Hold it close? Hold it near? You're going to lose it. You'll lose it. You're going to be stingy with the stuff that the Lord has given us, stingy with our lives, stingy with the blessing and the abundance that the Lord has given us. Remember what it says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because that love is not of the Father." But the Lord says, lose your life for His sake. Give of that which the Lord has given. Give it all away. Give it for His service and in His for His sake. Remember, the Lord says in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, "Our lives do not consist of the abundance of the things which we possess." God doesn't look at that about our lives. "Well, Jim, wow, Jim's got that saved up and doing pretty good over there and doing all right there. You know, he's pretty all right." The Lord doesn't give a lick about that. The Lord gives that stuff and He takes it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And what He does is He gives us, and then we're responsible for that. How are we giving that? How are we manifesting love? And do you and I love? Do we love? Are we being stingy with our lives? Are we giving of our lives? Verse 35 there of Mark 8, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's," a little bit more than we saw over in Matthew, "the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." In Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9. Look how many times that this comes through in the Gospels. Twice in Matthew, once in Mark. And here in Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Did not the Lord deny himself? He did, didn't he? Being a man in his prime, did he not deny himself? "For whosoever," verse 24, "shall save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." In chapter 17 of Luke also, Look how many times I knew this was in there, but I hadn't realized how many times. In Luke 17:33, "Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." How did the Lord manifest his love towards you and me? He gave of himself. What's he expect of us? To give of ourselves. Not be stingy with our life, not be stingy with the stuff of life, but to give. Brothers and sisters, I'm not standing before you as the example. I need this too. I need it. We need it. We need to have the mind of Christ in these things. And may the Lord help us that we do better than we have in the past. How can this be? How can it be that you give your life to gain it? To get to lose it, but yet gain it. How can that be? How can it be that you give it all? You just give it. And you use it for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the gospel. You give, you extend, you give of self. How is it that you can give of self, that you can gain your life? How can that be? Well, in Isaiah 53, we see the example unfold. Look here in Isaiah 53, verse number 12. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Look here what the Scripture says. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great," Isaiah 53, 12. "And he," Jesus Christ, "shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death." He gave it all. You know, I had never considered before, and I don't understand all of how this is, but the Lord Jesus Christ became a man, and he hadn't been a man before. But he's a man now, and he's forever a man to the testimony of what he's done for us and the salvation that he's brought us. And the Lord has indeed lived forever, but somehow our Lord poured his soul out unto death. He gave of himself. Not the gold, not the silver, not the glory and the brightness of the new heaven, new earth, and heaven, and all, but he gave himself to show his love, to manifest his love. His soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. In John chapter 12, we see this coming to our Lord as he gets closer to the cross. In John chapter 12, verse number 27, John 12, 27, these Greeks have come, and the Lord seems to be preoccupied with that which he is going to do. And in verse number 27, he says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." He said, my soul is being troubled. And shall I seek to escape this? No, this is the reason that I came. I came for this. The Lord had never been so close to the cross at that point than he had been before. And he's moving, and he says, my soul, that soul that he ultimately poured out unto death, my soul is troubled. We go to Matthew chapter 25. We go to Matthew chapter 25 later on in that work of the Lord and what he has done and what he was doing there in that day for us. And in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 26. The person that wrote out my notes made a mistake. Matthew 26, verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them to the place that is called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. It's getting closer. And did he quit it? Did he back away from it? No. I think we see the humanity of the Lord here manifested. He says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Not a question of disobedience, but a question of, is there any other way? You can read Hebrews 5, verses 7 and 8. But he says here, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Sorrowful unto death. In Isaiah chapter 53 again, how is it that in losing our life, we can gain our life? How is it that we can manifest love by giving of ourselves? Look here in Isaiah 53, verse 8. Look what it says here. He was taken from prison, the Lord was, and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? Who's going to declare his generation? Who's going to be his seed? Who's going to be his offspring? For he was cut out of the land of the living in his prime. I think that's what that refers to. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him and hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his offering, his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. Oh, he's going to have it. See, he gave of himself fully. And set aside having his own family and his own life on this earth. And by offering himself and his soul and giving everything, his family is great indeed, isn't it? You see that? The Lord lost his life, but he gained it all, didn't he? He did. When I shall make his offering, his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. He didn't settle for a family of 2 or 12 or 24 kids, but he laid that aside in the prime of his life, and he offered himself fully. And he's got a multitude of children that he's going to bring to glory. Amen. In verse number 12, we read that. It says here, and he was numbered with the transgressors in the latter part of the verse and bare the sin of many. There it is again. And made intercession for the transgressors. How can this be that you can give your life and gain it? Well, that's what the Lord did. In Hebrews chapter 2, I just referred to that, and take a look over here. Hebrews 2, verse number 10, and before it became him, For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. If the Lord would have lived 1,000 years, you think about Adam, think about Methuselah, and the children that they begat, and we have some of the account of that in the Old Testament scriptures, and all the children that they had, but yet the Lord brought to glory many, many more. How? He fully gave of himself. He fully gave of himself, manifesting his love. Look here in John chapter 15. Look at this. Stay with me. In John chapter 15, verse number 12, the Lord speaking to his disciples, how is it that you can give your life? How is it that you can love with the giving of your life and gain your life? Look here in John chapter 15, verse number 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Hear that? He gave it all. The Lord's not speaking. He's speaking to his children here in his church. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man that lay down his life for his friends. You want to manifest agape love? Lay down your life. Give your life. Give of it. Give of it. Lose it for Christ's sake and the gospel's. And yes, we're to be good stewards. Yes, we're to be wise in the Lord. But don't be stingy with your life. Don't be stingy with your days. May the Lord help us we not be stingy with our hours, but we give. We give of our life, give of our stuff for the sake of others. He says here, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Isn't that amazing? That we are called the friends of the Lord if you do whatsoever I command you. And what did he say? Love one another as I have loved you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth. Listen, go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. How is the Lord's love manifested? He gave of himself. How does the Lord command us to do? That we give of our life, and we lose our life for his sake and the gospel's, and by doing so we'll gain it. How is it that we show and manifest love in our lives, and how is it that we would love? We give of ourselves. We give of our stuff, but that's not enough. We need to give of ourselves. We indeed can be charitable with the stuff and the things that the Lord has given us, and we should be. But He wants us to give of ourselves. We're called His friends. And His love has been exhibited by His death for us. He gave of His life. He gave of Himself. And not His stuff, but He gave Him. And we are to bear fruit unto Him to the praise and honor and glory of His name. How do we bear fruit? How is it that we bear fruit? Well, look over here, a page back in John chapter 12. Look here. Verse 23, we read this verse 27. Let's read these other verses here now. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You be stingy with your life. You and I be stingy with the stuff that the Lord's blessed us with, and we'll die. We'll die. We won't bear any fruit. Oh, we'll have a reasoning that makes sense to us. But when it comes time to pass from this life, there won't be treasure that had been laid up in heaven. We need to give of ourselves. We need to do what the Lord did and give of ourselves. We need to give of the blessing that the Lord's given us, and we need to give of ourselves. I need to give of Jim Duke. You know what? Because I don't want to die and be alone. You understand? We're saved. We're saved eternally. You're saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not even talking about that. We're talking about service. And who wants to be a kernel of corn that falls and abides alone? But we need to die to self. We need to be willing to lose our lives. We need to exhibit love that way, agape love, by giving of ourselves like the Lord did. And you know what? What's it say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. The Lord said we're His friends. He exhibited His love for us by dying for us. We need to be willing to give our lives for the brethren and for the sake of the sinner and for our families and for each one that we come in contact with. And we are called to bear fruit unto Him. But we will only bear fruit if we die to ourselves and give of ourselves for the sake of the Lord. Do you and I love? Well, do you give of yourself? Do you give of yourself to the Lord? Do you give of yourself to the sinner that's in need of salvation? Do you give of yourself to your spouse? Brother Mark's been teaching about that. I'm glad for it. It's great. You give of yourself for your spouse? Do you give of yourself for your children? Do you give of yourself for your neighbor? Remember the two greatest commandments? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, when it's convenient. Doesn't go that way, does it? But He said all, did He not? Because He wants us to lose our lives for Him and unto Him. And the second commandment is namely like it. What's it say? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to lose our lives. Yeah, Brother Jim, you don't understand my life. Listen, you're not hearing what the Word of God says. Brother Jim, you don't know my situation. Talk to the Lord about that. I'm not looking to be mean. I'm just looking for us to get honest with God. Well, my situation's different. No, it's not. Because the Word of God comes to you and me, and that's the way it is. Well, my family's always done it this way. Be careful and don't take the traditions of men and take them and adopt them for what God says. Look out. Well, we just got this order this way. Look out. If it's not according to the Word of God, you will get yourself and your family in trouble. I will get myself and my family in trouble. We need to obey the Lord. We need to love one another. We need to love our neighbors, our brethren. We need to give of ourselves to the Lord, to our brethren, to the sinner, to our spouses, to our children. We need to lose our lives for the sake of the Lord. We need to show our love and exhibit our love by giving of ourselves. Can you help somebody in some way? Do it. Can you pray for somebody in some way? Do it. Can you fellowship with somebody in some way? Do it. Do it. Can you witness to someone about the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do it. Give of yourselves. Wear yourself out doing it. Lose that life for the sake of the Lord's and you'll gain it. Amen? Do you and I love?